proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions with another radio Bible broadcast. In our examination of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have looked at a number of individuals listed as heroes of faith. The name of Samuel is included in that list. Our last session contained the first of the two-part study about Samuel and his life. We conclude with this particular Bible study. Note that the scriptures did not depict Samuel as an individual without flaws. On several occasions, Samuel demonstrated that he, too, could transgress. Consider the account contained in 1 Samuel chapter 8. The author of that book revealed that Samuel's two sons, quote, walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment, unquote. The conduct of Samuel's sons echoed that of the behavior of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. According to 1 Samuel chapter 4, God chose to judge the house of Eli, quote, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not, unquote. Notice that Samuel did not receive the same judgment, but evidently Samuel lacked something in bringing up his children. Perhaps he allowed his ministry to take priorities over his duty to his family. Samuel lived in the city of Ramah, but was gone frequently, traveling to the cities of Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah in his function as a judge. Samuel's duties as a judge might have negatively impacted the time he spent home, first in terms of how much time and what he did with his time at home. It seems that Samuel failed to teach his own children to walk in God's ways. What could Samuel have done to remedy that situation? At the very least, he could have removed his sons from office once they began acting corruptly and Samuel found out about it. Yet he failed to do so. That action, combined with Samuel's advancing age, motivated the Israelites to petition for a king. The Bible revealed another instance where Samuel demonstrated weakness. According to 1 Samuel 16, God told Samuel to anoint a successor to King Saul. Samuel hesitated, fearing incurring the wrath of the incumbent monarch. Solomon made an observation about this. In the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs, we read this verse, quote, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, unquote. Evidently, on that occasion at least, Samuel feared what Saul could do more than he feared disobeying God. He allowed outward appearances to influence him as well. In carrying out his commission, Samuel beheld all of Jesse's sons, except for David. When Samuel first saw Eliab, David's oldest brother, Samuel remarked, quote, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, unquote. God did not see it that way. Indeed, God rebuked Samuel, saying, quote, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, unquote. Samuel might have made that same misjudgment when choosing Saul. On that occasion, he exclaimed, quote, see him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people, unquote. Samuel might have allowed a person's physical appearance to dissuade him from looking deeper into that person's characters. Notwithstanding his faults, though, Samuel's contemporaries recognized Samuel as a man of God. His leadership and trust in God allowed him to lead Israel in victory over their enemies. He was an instrument of revival to the Jewish nation as well. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.